Chapter 18. Joe, 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 wake up! My Z-phone earpiece blared at me. Army training allowed me to snap upright on my cot, mostly alert, one hand fumbling for the Z-phone earpiece, the other hand automatically holding a boot so I could stuff a foot into it. What is it, Skippy? No immediate emergency. You can drop back to code yellow. You scared the hell out of me. It was almost code yellow in my shorts, you ass! What is it that couldn't wait? I checked the clock on the Z-phone. 3.5 hours until I was going to wake up on my own. Two things, both fairly important. Very important, actually. Good news and bad news. Bad news first, please. Bad news meant I might have to do something about it ASAP. Good news could wait this time, until morning, and a cup of coffee, maybe 2 cups. I put the other boot on. There was not going to be any more sleep for me that night. Of course, Skippy agreed. Two of the Kristang leaders here were talking on their phones. One complained about how their workforce is lazy and not moving fast enough. The other one, who I think is their leader, said they need to move faster because he expects a ship to pick them up in the next 60 to 80 days. What? That is bad news. I stood up and pulled pants on. Sleep could wait. You told us they wouldn't have a ship coming to pick them up for a year or more. That was based on communications I intercepted, yes. Based on this new information, I now suspect those communications were the leaders lying to their workforce about the timeline for their departure. I now believe that when the ship arrives, the 6 leaders plan to take the Elder artifacts with them and abandon their workers here to starve. This does explain a discrepancy I have noticed. Their food supply does not appear to be sufficient to support their population for the official duration of their mission. Before, my assumption was that the leaders at some point planned to kill their workforce in order to stretch their food supply. All of which were things Skippy should have told me, or I should have inquired about. You can't screw with that ship's sensors, like you're doing with the satellites? No, not through the micro-wormhole. The connection doesn't have the bandwidth for me to transmit a submind. The satellites don't have the capacity to store a submind anyway. And also, through the wormhole, I can't activate the Theranin nanovirus that is likely embedded in the Kristang ship's systems. This was going to be a problem. A very big problem. This new ship will be able to see us then? Yep, very likely. With pants and a shirt on, I could think more clearly. Damn it. All right, then we'll need to burrow underground, remove all trace of our habitation from the surface, and hide until that ship goes away. That was going to be difficult. Our success would depend mostly on the newly arrived ship wanting to pick up the Kristang here quickly and not seeing any need for a serious scan of the planet's surface. Negative? No burrowing. Not only burrowing, anyway. Why not? I hoped he didn't have even worse news for us. Because of the good news, Joe. We have an awesome opportunity. Ah, crap. When you're in the military and someone tells you about an opportunity, it's almost never good news for you. You found us a great deal on car insurance? No, even better. Joe, seriously, this is awesome. Joe, they have an AI. That's great, Skippy. What did he think was awesome about that? All starships had an AI of some sort as their central computing core. Even dropships had a type of AI running their navigation system. So what if the lizards had an AI at their scavenger base? They probably used an AI to figure out which Elder junk was valuable. You don't understand. While those 2 lizards were talking, they had a video feed going, and behind one of them, I saw some of the Elder artifacts they have recovered sitting on a table. One of those artifacts is an Elder AI. That was awesome news. An AI like you? Another shiny beer can? I asked excitedly. Did it tell you about the collective? I haven't been able to contact it. I don't understand why not. Maybe it's dormant because the Kristang are a starfaring species. That is why you couldn't talk to the Kristang or the Ruhar on Paradise, right? That doesn't explain why it won't talk to me. We AIs can communicate on a higher level. Biologicals wouldn't know about it. Also troubling is this AI, like myself, appears to be connected to an Elder starship crash. What the Kristang here are digging up is debris from an Elder starship that fell out of orbit. In this case, I estimate the ship crashed between 2.3 and 2.5 million years ago. Dreading the answer I may get, I asked, "Oh boy, you're telling me no burrowing because we need to get this AI before the Kristang ship arrives to take everything away?" Exactly. We can't miss this opportunity. If this AI can direct me to the Collective, your mission is complete and you can go home when the Dutchman is repaired. If the Kristang take the AI away, we might never find it again. The Kristang have no idea what it is, of course. They're only taking it with them because they know it is somehow connected to the Elder ship. The AI may spend eternity sitting under a pile of junk. Yeah, or on a dusty shelf in a warehouse. Skippy, I see this is a great opportunity. I truly do. We're a long way from the Kristang. We don't have any transport, and they have air power. We can't just knock on the door and ask for the AI. We'll have to fight for it. And in a fight, we'll have to kill all of them, every single one of them, so survivors can't tell their ship they were attacked by humans. Also, if we do kill them all, that ship is going to be asking a lot of questions when it arrives. You need to let me think on this. You're the military genius, Joe. You'll think of something. Genius? Relatively speaking, of course. On a monkey scale. Hey, you need to think fast. We don't have a lot of time. I'll get right on it, I said quietly, stepping out from my private cubbyhole and into the main chamber of the cavern, where rows of cots contained sleeping people. Then I stopped suddenly, struck by a thought. A frightening thought. You said you think this Elder ship with the AI crashed between 2.3 and 2.5 million years ago? Yeah. Why? An Elder starship with an Elder AI crashed only a couple hundred thousand years after Elder technology pushed this planet out of orbit? The coincidental timing has not escaped my notice, yes. I find this highly suspicious. Maybe this AI knows what happened, I said, and as I spoke, a chill ran up my spine. Ah, shit. Could this AI have been involved? No. Categorically no, not possible. That is not possible. No sentient being connected to Elder civilization, whether biological or artificial in origin, would have, could have, done something this evil. It is more likely the Elder ship and this planet fell victim to the same sinister forces. Joe, this scares the shit out of me, so to speak. After considering Skippy's news about the Kristang ship arriving early, and his suggestion that we raid the scavenger camp for the comm node and AI, I called the entire Spec Ops team together in the main cabin. When everyone had assembled, I stood on a table and announced, "People, we've made the most of our opportunity to land on this planet, train here, and learn about the planet. Now I am excited to announce that we have a bonus opportunity." There were groans from the Spec Ops teams from all five countries. No matter what the nationality, everyone understood what opportunity means in the military. Garcia raised his hand to get my attention.
"Sir, in this case, is bone us one word or two?"
I joined in the laughter. It was a good sign that the people under my command felt confident they could joke around with me. We had bonded as a team during our exile on Newark. The hardcore elite Spec Ops people and their sergeant pretending to be a colonel commander. It could be both, Garcia. Here's the situation. Skippy had discovered that the Kristang scavenger team here has not only found a comm node in the wreckage of an Elder starship, they found another AI, another beer can, like Skippy. Or, I should say, I hastened to add before Skippy became offended, another Elder AI, since I think we can all agree there is no one like Skippy. Hopefully. That remark got a chuckle. It is my intention for us to raid the Kristang and take the two items we need. There was no chuckling. People gasped. Smythe spoke first.
"Sir," he asked, "the point of us hiding in caves and ghosting their satellites is so the Kristang won't know we're here at all. Now we're talking about attacking them, risking an attack on an enemy with at least equivalent weapons and the advantage of air power. Good as we are." He looked around at his fellow Spec Ops troops, all of whom were supremely confident they were the best. "These Kristang are bigger, faster, and tougher than any of us. I understand our friend Skippy is eager to get this AI, but how is this worth the risk to us?"
"It is worth the risk, because if this new AI can tell Skippy how to contact the Collective or the Elder Comm Node works, we don't need to go wandering around the galaxy again. And remember, the Kristang here also have an Elder Communications Node, the very thing we came all the way out here to find. Getting that AI could be a huge bonus, but getting a Comm Node will mean our mission will be complete. Also, I'm hoping this new AI, or Skippy, or both of them, will agree to guide the Dutchman back to Earth before they,
you know, beam up or whatever it is Skippy hopes to do. In that case, we will not only return home instead of being stuck out here forever, we will also be providing humanity with a Theranin star carrier that can be examined, taken apart, and possibly reverse engineered. That is an opportunity I think we cannot miss. That hit home. People nodded, looking at each other. A star carrier, permanently in Earth orbit. A technology far beyond even the Kristang. The basis, perhaps, of humanity building a defensive capability, a starship, even a fleet of our own someday. "We're only going," I added, "if we have a plan to minimize the risk. Unfortunately, I haven't told you the best part yet. Skippy has also learned that a ship will be arriving here to retrieve the Kristang in 60 to 80 days. People gasped. "Yeah, I know. The Flying Dutchman will not be ready in 60 days, so we won't have the ship's weapons or dropships available for an attack. We will have to walk all the way there and attack with the equipment we have available. Frankly, if I didn't have a Special Forces unit available, I wouldn't even consider attacking the Kristang. Again, we are not going unless we have a very solid plan to minimize our risk. If we can't do that, then what we do is hunker down here, remain inside the caverns until that Kristang ship goes away. An attack against a species with equivalent technology on their ground, and we can only bring with us what we're able to carry on our backs," Smythe mused aloud. I couldn't tell whether he was skeptical or intrigued. "The motto of the SAS is who dares wins, Captain Smythe?" I asked. "This," William said quietly, "needs to be one hell of a plan, sir." "Agreed," I said. "And for that I am grateful that I have 6 experienced special operations leaders, and our ace in the hole. Don't forget about Skippy. He may be all the way on the other side of this star system, but right now he is controlling everything the Kristang see through their satellites. It is a long walk to the Kristang base. One thing we will not have to worry about is being detected on satellite images. I am counting on Skippy giving us the advantage of surprise. We're going to hit them by surprise, hit them hard, and they won't even know there is anyone else on this planet until our bullets start exploding." When I dismissed people from the meeting to begin thinking up ideas on how to attack the Kristang, I walked over to Chang. "Colonel, we now need a single leader of the Spec Ops teams. I want you to put together a list of..."
"Captain Smythe," Chang interrupted me.
"Smythe?"
"Smythe. And if you ask the other 5 team leaders, they will tell you the same. Smythe has everyone's respect, everyone likes him, and he has by far the most experience commanding special operations in combat. He was up to be promoted to major, but he turned it down because UNEF wanted the team leaders all to be captains so they would be equal in rank."
"Huh. I didn't know that."
"It's in his personnel file, sir," Chang chided me gently.
"Smythe, then?"
"Yes."
"You put some thought into this ahead of time," I observed.
"I am the executive officer. I wouldn't be much use if I didn't keep you out of trouble, sir."
Before we could attack the scavenger base and take the AI and comm node, we needed a plan. The Spec Ops leaders began looking at maps and gathering data as soon as I dismissed people from the meeting. What I did was call Skippy. Before we made elaborate plans, I wanted to try something very simple and easy.
"Hey, Skippy, I've got a question for you."
"What?" "You said even a nuke wouldn't damage you, right?"
"True."
"Great.
True, both that I said it and that a nuke can't harm me, to be clear, since I'm talking to a monkey."
"Uh-huh. Same with this other AI?"
"Possibly.
I don't know for certain. It depends on the strength of its connection to the local space-time. If that connection is weak, an explosion could damage it."
"Crap.
Why did you ask?"
"Because," I said, mentally crossing one idea off my list, "I was hoping you could hit the Kristang base with a couple missiles, then all we would need to do is sort through the debris to find this beer can. I mean, AI.
The Theranin missiles aboard the Dutchman weren't tipped with nuclear warheads. They used some fancy high-tech molecular compression device that had a high explosive yield without radiation."
"Aha.
Unfortunately, there are 4 problems with your idea. First, even one of our missiles might damage the AI, and we can't risk that in any way. Second, I would be launching the missiles at very long range, which would make it almost impossible to time their impact when all the Kristang are at their base.
Third, a missile will certainly damage the comm node, which is almost as important as the AI. Elder communications nodes are rather fragile devices, for reasons I had best not explain to monkeys. And fourth, perhaps most important, we currently don't have any missiles aboard the Flying Dutchman. What? I asked, surprised. We had 8. Dum-dum. You forget I used one to carry the micro-wormhole to Newark. Fine, 7. We had 7 missiles. You are entirely 100% accurate. We had 7 missiles. To repair the Dutchman, I had to disassemble them for raw materials and fuel.
Well, that's just freaking great, I fumed. When were you going to mention that? What the hell is the point of me being a commander if I didn't know what is going on with my own ship?
I'm building a starship from moon dust here. You want every detail? We also no longer have a galley or a gym. Those parts of the ship are currently being used as a crude particle accelerator to transmute rare elements I need.
A warship that now does not have any missiles. It's kind of an important fact I need to know, Skippy. Although we're going to need a galley eventually.
Damn, Joe. What is so important about a freaking galley, anyway?
Skippy, we have a crew of people who, whether they think about it consciously or not, in the back of their minds, they know we're never going home.
You said it. After you contact the Collective, you'll be gone, and it's very unlikely we can fly the ship all the way back to Earth by ourselves. Food? Good food, prepared by people we know, served hot in a place we can gather and enjoy it together. That's important. That is vital to morale, Skippy. We need it. It is one of the few comforts we have out here, no matter how bad the situation is. If we can look forward to eating something good, that gives us hope. It's a meat sack thing, you understand? A galley is important. We need it.
Also, Skippy chuckled, your galley does provide me with endless opportunities for amusement.
Okay, by the time you get back aboard, we will have a galley, at least part of a gym, and 3, maybe 4 missiles. As the reactors come back online and I process raw materials into usable substances, I will be able to divert resources to habitation needs and weapons. My projection is that we will have enough materials and energy to assemble up to 11 missiles total. Not all of these missiles will have full capability. We simply don't have the resources for that type of manufacturing.
Skippy, I do appreciate the enormous amount of work you're doing. At my parents' house, weekend projects were carefully planned because a round trip to a decent hardware store or lumber yard took over 2.5 hours. Skippy's hardware store was whatever tools he could make by himself. Remember that when you get back here, and parts of the ship are still off limits to be decontaminated from high energy radiation. I'm sure we will simply love what you've done with the place.
It will truly be magical. I'm going with an arts and crafts style theme with a blending of elements from Disney and French Bordello. Blowing up the scavenger base with a missile won't work. What is your backup plan?
That was the backup plan, Skippy. The original plan is we raid the scavenger's base. I'm working on that.
The reason we were still working on plans for the raid was we didn't have a workable plan. The best plan would be for our special forces to attack the scavenger's base at night wearing powered armor. Speed, power, surprise. That plan had all the advantages. We would need to sneak up to their base, take cover, and wait until their aircraft was safely down and secured. Thanks to Skippy, we could track their aircraft, and we had a complete layout of their base. Thanks to the fact that the scavenger leaders didn't trust their forced labor, and therefore had the base covered with surveillance, Skippy tapped into their systems and could see almost everything inside their base. There was a very basic problem with that plan. Our armored suits didn't store enough power to walk all the way to the scavenger base. The stupid Kristang hadn't built their suits with removable power cells, so we couldn't bring along enough energy to have a person in a suit carry an empty suit and leapfrog to get there. In regular use, powered suits were supposed to be supported by portable recharging units, and we didn't have even a single one of those with us. However we got there, we wouldn't have armored suits for the assault. As good as our special forces were, they wouldn't be so special matched up against Kristang. We would be facing over 30 larger, stronger, faster, genetically perfected aliens, and 4, possibly 6 of them, would have armored suits. We needed a way to even the odds before we attacked, and so far, we didn't have a good plan to do that. The special forces worked feverishly to develop an attack plan, and so far, none of our ideas minimized the risk sufficiently for me to have confidence that we could succeed. That night, I woke up in the middle of the night with an idea. My unconscious mind is apparently smarter than I am when I'm awake. I don't know what that says about me. My plan, and it was pretty freaking brilliant in my humble opinion, would accomplish two things: whittling down the number of Kristang we were facing, and removing the Kristang's advantage of air power. If the plan worked, that is. Knowing I wouldn't get back to sleep, I got out of my cot and walked quietly across the cavern to get coffee, tiptoeing carefully around people sleeping on cots and sleeping pads. Then I walked outside, where it was chilly and damp, but thankfully not raining, and I called Skippy to discuss my idea with him. Surprisingly, he shut up long enough for me to explain my idea.
"Hmm,"
Skippy said. "This is your plan. Perhaps I had better get out the dictionary and explain the definition of the word plan to you." "I know what a plan is, Skippy. Other than the fact that this plan was dreamed up by a monkey, do you see any major problems? I have to admit that this plan is possibly not the most incredibly awful stupid thing I've ever heard. Possibly. It is clearly in the top five of all stupid ideas in this galaxy, of course. From there, it's a matter of judgment." "Damn. Thanks for the vote of confidence, Skippy. Seriously, do you see any problems? A lot of the plan relies on you."
"It relies entirely on me, you moron. And here I am on the other side of the freaking star system building a starship out of moon dust.
The biggest problem, and if you had more than two brain cells, you'd know this, is that your plan has multiple potential points of failure. Unless all parts of the plan work correctly, the entire plan collapses."
"Okay. Okay, I hear you. You got any better ideas?"
"No, I'm good. Let's try this one."
"What?" I almost shouted. "You bust my balls about me making a stupid plan, and you're okay with it?"
"Yeah, sure. It's good enough."
"Come on, Joe. You're monkeys.
I figure, what are the odds that you will ever think up a better plan?"